With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. It's been way too long since we've chatted about some football, so it was time, and today we'll be looking at free agency. We don't have a guest today. Instead, we have a new co-host. Mike Tagliere is now part of the Fantasy Pros team. We couldn't be more excited to be having him join us. Hey, Mike.
I am excited, Bobby. Every single time I did this show with you during the season, you know, it was always a pleasure talking with you. And I don't think we ever hardcore disagreed, but I have a feeling coming on to co-host, we're going to have some disagreements throughout the year and it's going to be a good time because you come across in such a nice way. And then like, I'm going to be like, no, Bobby, no, we're going to have some good times. It's going to be fantastic. I look forward to it.
Really big opinions. So we're definitely going to clash here and there. It hasn't happened yet because you've agreed with me. I'm just kidding. I've mostly been agreeing with you. But Mike, I mean it sincerely. You're one of the hardest workers in the business. You have a lot of class. Plus, I think we're going to have plenty of fun together. We already have. And we're thrilled to have you aboard, me especially.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. And today we're going to talk about some free agents and kind of get everything, you know, set off. The combine starting up, the draft's coming up. It's just, there is no offseason anymore, and yeah. I don't know if there ever was one for us, but hopefully more people are catching on that the offseason is no more.
So how this is going to work moving forward, for those of you listening at home, it's going to be me and Mike plus one guest. Today we don't have a guest because you know, we just want to introduce the co-host and do a show together first, but we're going to be having a guest. There's going to be a number of shows coming up, including some more about free agency, a really early mock draft. We're going to be talking about the upcoming NFL draft and doing a special rookie mock draft for those dynasty leagues out there. Mike and I are going to be doing at least one show per week from here on out. So, Mike, before we jump into free agency, catch our listeners up on some of the recent news items.
Some of the recent news items, there was actually some big news that broke this morning. Both Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport came out and let us know that Brandon Cooks, the New Orleans Saints wide receiver, is on the trade block, and it appears that the two highest bidders, I guess, right now for him would be the Tennessee Titans and the Philadelphia Eagles. We know that the Eagles have been in the hunt for wide receivers. We, you know, a lot of people are tying Alshon Jeffrey to them. We're going to talk about him in a little bit here. But the Titans are one that they said they're going to go out and spend some money on a wide receiver. So with this trade, we don't know what it's for right now. Some people are assuming that it's for the number 18 overall pick, which is where the Titans are picking in the first round this year. Me personally, I'm a fan of the move. I mean, Bobby, we have not discussed this off air. We wanted to capture everything that kind of we feel. I think it's beneficial for both teams, but for me, I actually love it from a Saints point of view. I think the Saints don't require a wide receiver that is going to be targeted a whole bunch. And honestly, I don't think Brandon Cooks is that guy. I've gone through with the Saints in the past and I've looked through their team numbers. No, under Sean Payton and Drew Brees, no wide receiver has ever seen more than 132 targets in that system. Yep. So when you see Brandon Cooks get towards that 120 mark and he's complaining about not getting enough targets, that's a real issue because he's never going to get more than that, especially, you know, with Michael Thomas now coming out of the scene. So for me, the Saints willing to trade him away before having to give him a deal, you know, I think his contract is up after this season. So I think it's smart on their part, and the Titans, I don't know. I'm actually wondering what you think of Brandon Cooks on a talent level, and how do you think he'll fit in with Marcus Mariota and the Titans if he goes there?
I get the impression that I'm more fond of Brandon Cooks and who he can be. I think he's been limited because he's a part of that offense. Like you said, Drew Brees just doesn't pass the ball to one wide receiver. He's who he is, and it's a great Hall of Fame quarterback, right? So Brandon Cooks has a lot more value on other teams, so I think it makes sense for the Saints to trade him, sell high, if you will, on what other teams think he can be. And I think he can be that on another team. If he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, yeah, maybe he'll be a 100 reception receiver. I'm not going to bank on that or anything, but the upside is certainly there. And I think Michael Thomas is the best receiver on the Saints. So it makes all the sense in the world for the Saints. Now for the Titans, I'm not so sure about this move. I'm not convinced that they're anywhere close to winning a Super Bowl. And so they're going to go out and trade for one of these guys that's going to cost them a first round pick when they could continue to rebuild. And then they're going to have to pay him a load of money. I think it makes more sense for the Eagles. I actually think that they're closer. I think that Carson Wentz is going to be a nice quarterback for them. I like him more than Mariota. I know Mariota had that great stretch, but I think it was you that pointed out he was playing in warm weather, and it was really inflating his stats and making him look good. I like what they have with Matthews there, but their offense is just too much of a mess. I don't think they're close enough to compete. So, yeah, Philadelphia Eagles, they've got Dorial Grimbeckham, who most people who listen to this show know that I love him. I think he's going to break out. Maybe this year, probably not, probably next year. And I think Cooks would be a nice addition with him. And then maybe they go get Cook in the draft, the running back.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook, I don't know if they're actually going to do it or not, because we hear so many rumors to so many different teams right now. But this is one, like, when you hear it come from Rappaport and Schefter, you know it's legit. And so it does seem like they're headed for a part, Brandon Cooks and the Saints. So for me, Brandon Cooks, I don't think his fantasy value will ever be higher in terms of upside than it has been with the Saints, just because I think that Drew Brees fits what, and Sean Payton's offense for that matter, fits what Brandon Cooks does so well. I don't think Brandon Cooks, honestly, I don't think he's going to find a team where he's going to see more than 125 targets in a season. And when you measure the efficiency of the targets with Drew Brees and that he might with any other quarterback, the only other quarterback that honestly I would love to see him with that I think he could be as efficient with, if not more, would be someone like Russell Wilson. You know, someone in that offense that he's got the arm to get the ball downfield. I don't know if Mariota's got the arm that I want, that Drew Brees does to get the ball downfield to Brandon Cooks. But yes. I do agree with you though on Carson Wentz. I think Wentz could be a better fit for Brandon Cooks, but I just love that we're getting some of these rumors this time of the year.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I love talking about it. So Mike, who do you think is a mystery team that could jump in, or which team do you think would be an ideal fit?
For Brandon Cooks, honestly, I started thinking about that because it's just like, how many teams really need wide receivers that are close right now that want to trade for him? You could talk about the Buccaneers. They're looking for someone to go opposite Mike Evans right now. And that's why DeSean Jackson's been rumored to go there. Some people have tied John Ross as a guy that could be drafted to go there. Me personally, I love John Ross. Like, I actually been watching rookie tape this week after the baby. I've been trying to catch up on all of my rookie film stuff, and John Ross is going to fit in somewhere really well. And I think that, you know, the Buccaneers are someone that could use somebody like Brandon Cooks, just because he's the number two to Mike Evans. I think that's where Brandon Cooks would best fit, is a number two in an offense. I don't think he's a number one. I think he's a field stretcher. I wouldn't even compare him to T.Y. Hilton, actually. I think Hilton is closer to the not a prototypical number one, but I would say the Bucs is probably the best fit if I were to pick a team for Brandon Cooks.
I'll tell you what, Mike, I'd love to see him go to the Buffalo Bills. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but Sammy Watkins is just so injury prone. And then after him, they have absolutely nothing. I mean, we saw Robert Woods get a ton of targets that one game because he was their only wide receiver. And he's like a mediocre number four wide receiver for a normal NFL team. So imagine Cooks going there, he'd get all the targets he wants.
I could see where you're going with that. I still think that they do similar things. Like Sammy Watkins is that deep presence, like that guy that you can like literally throw the ball up and let him run under it. I think Cooks is a similar guy, more of a gadgety type player. I really do want to see who's the quarterback there. Like right now, it's funny you bring up Sammy Watkins. I'm so torn on him right now and where I'm supposed to draft him, how I'm supposed to value him in Dynasty, because whatever they do at the quarterback position, it's going to severely impact him. Because if he doesn't have a quarterback that can get the ball down the field, I don't want him on my team. But if Tyrod Taylor's back there, and you know, if they were to somehow line up Brandon Cooks with both Sammy Watkins, I mean, that's a nightmare for secondaries.
I would so much rather see Jay Cutler thrown in the ball. He's got that great arm. Yeah. And I think Taylor's actually held back Watkins. I think Watkins can be a top five wide receiver in this league, if he can stay healthy, of course, which is a big if. But I love the upside of Sammy Watkins. It's really intriguing right now in those MFL 10 leagues for me. But it's dangerous, man. It's dangerous.
It definitely is.
So the San Francisco 49ers have come out and said that they want Carlos Hyde to be involved in the passing attack. How far up do you think this moves him in your rankings?
Me personally, I've been a big Carlos Hyde fan. I honestly thought that Chip Kelly might use Carlos Hyde more in the receiving game than he did. Now, Hyde did finish the year with 3 receiving touchdowns, which was more than I think most would have expected. But I expected, you know, somewhere in the range of 40 receptions, 40 to 50 receptions. With that being said, we have Kyle Shanahan coming to town now. Kyle Shanahan, we've seen what he's done for Devonta Freeman the last 2 years. We've seen what he did for Tevin Coleman.
Great point. To
an extent this year. So it's obviously going to give a natural bump to Carlos Hyde and the fact that Kyle Shanahan wants to use running backs. We also know that the 49ers don't have a quarterback. They didn't have a quarterback last year. And when Carlos Hyde was healthy, when he was on the field, he was producing at an RB1 type level. So for me, Carlos Hyde, if they are somehow able to get a competent quarterback in here, some people have tried to say that Kirk Cousins, maybe, now that he's been franchise tagged, can they trade him? Some people have tried to tie someone like Mike Glennon going there to San Francisco. I'm curious to see what happens here, how everything unfolds. But for me, there's one clear answer here is that Carlos Hyde is going to be a significant part of this offense. And now Kyle Shanahan's coming out at the combine saying that Carlos Hyde is a better receiver than people think. And they're going to start using him more in that fashion, which is ideal because they really don't have a running back behind him. I mean, Dwan Harris, he's the next up on the totem pole there. Mike Davis is he's a plotter. Some people have said that the 49ers are probably going to draft a running back. And honestly, even if they do, it's probably going to be someone of the third down sort. But they've already kind of committed to Carlos Hyde as a receiver. So for me, I know this is going out on a limb, but I'm comfortable taking Carlos Hyde at the tail end of the second round.
To me, it just means that Carlos Hyde is going to be matchup proof. And that's a beautiful thing. That does not really happen with running backs these days. And especially when you get one on a terrible team like the 49ers, that's what you want to hear. I'm going to believe it when I see it, though. I've watched the film for Carlos Hyde. I don't think he's an RB1. I don't think he would be an RB1 in a good offense. I could be proved wrong here. We'll see what happens. That 49er situation was just terrible. So all around terrible. I don't know how Carlos Hyde would actually fit into a good offense, but it was just all so ugly to me that he's a guy that I'm probably going to want to avoid unless he drops into the late third round. And then we also had Le'Veon Bell and Kirk Cousins, who were both franchise tagged. What do you think this means for them going forward?
Well, Le'Veon Bell, he's definitely going to be with the Steelers. It's a matter of, will he play under the franchise tag, which he's fine with, or are they going to try and get him on a long-term deal? Now, he's only 25 years old, so he is pretty much in line for the biggest running back contract of all time, I would assume. Adrian Peterson just getting cut, he eliminated that big salary, but I want to say that that does not affect the franchise tag number for Le'Veon Bell this year. So Le'Veon has been clear in saying that he's going to play under the tag if he has to. But I do expect them to try and make him the highest paid running back in football. It might be difficult with them, signing Antonio Brown to another long extension. So salary cap increase, I think that you're going to start to see teams try and lock up some of their bigger players before they hit free agency. And I think Le'Veon Bell is one of those players.
I think a big contract for a running back is just an absolute nightmare. I mean, we've seen how easy these guys are to replace. However, Le'Veon Bell's not really a running back. I mean, you're paying for like a good wide receiver and a really good running back, right? So it makes all the sense in the world. Now, Kirk Cousins, do you think that they might trade him now that they've tagged him?
Well, that's, if you asked me this question 2 days ago, I probably would have said, yeah, I think Kirk Cousins is headed elsewhere because we haven't heard anything out of the Redskins camp saying that they were negotiating a contract. Everybody was talking about trade. The 49ers were interested. Will they swap first round picks? And I said, if the 49ers were able to get Kirk Cousins for a first round draft pick, I know that some people say that's steep because of how high their draft pick is, but at the same time, we're talking about a franchise quarterback here from what we've seen. I mean, I think that you would rather have him than Mitch Trubisky or something like that. So I think Kirk Cousins is well worth that first round pick, understanding that you're probably going to have to sign him to a long-term contract once he gets to you. Now, I'm sure that would all be understood before the move took place, but today we hear news that the Redskins are now up in the area of $20 million per year that they're offering to Kirk Cousins, which it, you know, last year we heard that number was at 16 they were offering him. So hearing it get up to 20, I think we're getting closer and closer to them finally coming together and saying, okay, you know, I wanted to get paid. You guys wanted to get off on the cheap. Let's talk, figure this out. And I think ultimately he's going to be back with the Redskins now.
I think he's a really fine quarterback. I'm glad to see him getting paid. I think he can carry the Redskins. I don't say carry lightly. I really think he can carry the Redskins to the playoffs. I think he's an excellent young quarterback. Now, Mike, we've got the Seahawks backfield situation. Tell us a little about what's going on there.
All right. So, you know, CJ Procise, he's a guy that's been, you know, among the Twitter community. He's one of those guys that's so loved and everybody can't wait to see him touch the ball more. Well, you know, the previous year it was Thomas Rawls and everybody couldn't wait to see him. So we really don't know which way people want it said and done. But Pete Carroll made it clear today that it will be a competition going forward. He has stated that CJ Procise has to stay healthy. They've had concerns about his health carrying a team ever since the beginning of the start of last season. You know, they drafted him. He got hurt in the preseason. He basically couldn't play the entire preseason. He got hurt in the middle of the year, missed a lot of time. And then we got to the end and it was an unfortunate injury, but he basically, they're concerned about his health and whether or not he can stay healthy to carry a workload. For me, the offensive line was so bad for the Seahawks this year that it's hard to place any judgment on, you know, Christian Michael, even when he was there with Thomas Rawls, outside of the game against the Panthers, which, by the way, the Panthers were one of the best teams against stopping the run this year. And Thomas Rawls ran all over them like there was no tomorrow. In every other game, it seemed like he was getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. They need to address that offensive line before they worry about the running back position, honestly. And, you know, they're going to let that play out. The way I see it, I think it's going to be more of a timeshare than it was with Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson. I see it as more of a 60% Thomas Rawls, 40% CJ Procise. And honestly, I think it's going to be the best case scenario for that team.
I can't imagine it being a good situation for either of these guys unless one or the other gets hurt. And I think that they're both injury prone enough that it could happen and the other guy could become a feature back. But then who knows? Pete Carroll drafts some guy in the sixth round who will be a nice athlete and he'll get some carries. I'm just not convinced that drafting a running back out of this offense is a good idea at this point, especially behind that offensive line. It's dreadful.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that right now I'd feel comfortable drafting either of them. I know in dynasty circles, yeah, I think you could say that CJ Procise will withstand the longer amount of time just because he's not that physical runner that, you know, Thomas Rawls is, I guess what you could say, the closest thing to Marshawn Lynch is they're going to get. You know, he runs with his head down. He runs he's a very physical runner where he's going to take a lot of abuse. And you've seen him get hurt twice now already because of that. So yeah, I'm with you though, Bobby. I don't think that I'm comfortable drafting either of them where their ADP is right now.
All right, Mike, let's move over and talk about some of these free agents. We'll start at the quarterback position. There's three players. You just wrote this great piece. It is absolute gold. Okay. For those of you guys who want to check it out, NFL Free Agency Primer Fantasy Football, Mike Tagliere just came out with this piece. And he breaks down all the roster positions, potential suitors. He talks about the players and everything. And we're just going to be talking about a lot of the players within this article today. We'll start at quarterback. Tyrod Taylor, Tony Romo, and Jay Cutler could all be released. If they were, is it fair to say that Tony Romo is the player you'd want most on your team?
It depends on the team. So me, if anybody has followed me for a long time, they know that I'm a huge Tony Romo fan. I think that he's been underrated for his entire career. I honestly would put him down as a top 15 all-time quarterback. And I know that some people find that odd, but I have the numbers to back it up. I've done so much research on this that Tony Romo's been underappreciated by Cowboy fans, by NFL fans in general. But with that being said, I'm from Chicago. We know that, you know, it's very possible that Jay Cutler is released. I don't want Tony Romo on the Bears. And the reason I say that is because we are not a team that's built to win now. When I'm talking about Tony Romo, and if there's a team, honestly, if there's any team in the NFL that deserves Tony Romo right now, it's the Denver Broncos. Now, do we even know that Tony Romo is the same quarterback that he once was? The answer to that is no, we don't, because we've only seen him play a handful of games over the last couple seasons. But when you kind of move him over to Denver and say, we're going to, you know, give you Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, we might draft you a tight end because that's a position of need for them. You know, that could be a good thing. CJ Anderson, he's a solid running back that they're going to get back. I would put my money on the Broncos right now. I think if there's a backup team that I'd want to see him with, it would be the Chiefs. However, the Chiefs are adamant that they are, they've said it like five times, that they are sticking with Alex Smith. I don't know why, but they're adamant about that Alex Smith is their quarterback because they continually are asked. And it's like, why are we being asked this? Maybe at some point they'll look at it and say, well, maybe because he hasn't been great. Maybe he's been what's holding our team back. I understand the Texans too, but the Texans have already ruled that out. That's the only reason I don't talk about them is because they have literally said, we are not going to go after Tony Romo. And I do think it'd be a solid fit though, because they have the defense in place. You know, there's a lot of parts of that defense that have stepped up. I don't know why they're not trying to retain AJ Boye, but they're not. I think that defense can be one of the best in the NFL with JJ Watt coming back if he's healthy. Jadeveon Clowney stepping up, becoming the player that they thought they were getting when they drafted him. I'd love to see Romo with the Texans as well, but apparently Bill O'Brien has already ruled that out.
If you take the quarterbacks out of the equation, I think the Texans are probably best suited to win a Super Bowl now out of all those teams you mentioned, just because the defense is that good. I mean, they were the best defense in the league, at least top three defenses in the league without J.J. Watt last year. It's just to think about what they could do this season with a full season of J.J. Watt, I just shake my head. Like, it's incredible. They have a lot of talent there. And if I was a quarterback, a free agent quarterback, that's where I'd be going. Also, the Broncos offensive line has some question marks, and I'd be afraid of breaking my back again.
It definitely does have some question marks there. That's the only thing that I'm concerned about with Denver is that offensive line. So they would need to shore that up, whereas Houston already has some pieces in place that could help protect Romo.
So you've seen a lot of Jay Cutler, right? Being a Bears fan. Yeah. Do you think that he could maybe succeed in a different offense?
I think we're past that part of his career. And I'll say this about Jay. I'm not a Jay Cutler hater. I'm not a Jay Cutler lover. I am honest when I talk about the Bears. I'm honest when I talk about him. I think Jay Cutler could have been a very good quarterback in this league. I think that time has passed. Jay Cutler's never had an offensive coordinator for more than 2 years in his career. And now
that's tough. It is.
And some people will say that's because of him. And, you know, that's fair to an extent. But at the same time, if you're talking about a guy that you literally gave this massive contract to, that, you know, you feel like he's your franchise quarterback, you have to give him time. And they never, ever gave him time in Chicago. You know, his best years were back sticking with Shanahan. I really do wish him the best because, like, the Chicago media, it doesn't mix with Jay Cutler's personality. They will twist it. They will turn it. A lot of people say that Jay Cutler doesn't care. And I don't think that's true at all. I think that
it's just his face, man.
It is. And he's got that hate. He's got that Cutler face, you know, that everybody calls it. And I'm not a Jay Cutler hater, but I'm past that point. I just think that he's a stopgap quarterback right now, that he can kind of, like a team like the Jets, to show that, you know, we haven't fully given up. We're trying. But at the same time, you know, they're not going anywhere, just to get people to show up. You know, I think that he's headed to a team like the Jets or like the Bills.
Yeah, I'm looking at these potential suitors, and I'll tell you what, if he couldn't do it with Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, and Alshon Jeffrey, it's going to be ugly. It is going to be a wake-up call if he goes to the Jets, Bills, or 49ers, and man, I'm not excited about what Jay Cutler can offer.
Well, no, if you went back to even last year, not this year, but last year, when Adam Gase came there, Adam Gase and Jay Cutler worked extremely well together. Jay, you know, the numbers weren't, it's not like a big gaudy fantasy season or anything like that, but Jay played very competent football, and he did that without any wide receivers. If you recall, Brandon Marshall was already gone to the Jets. Alshon Jeffrey was hurt, and I think he played a total of 9 games, even though he missed a half of, like, you know, 2 other games. So Jay Cutler was throwing to essentially nobody. Eddie Royal was like his top wide receiver for much of that season with Gase. And then, of course, Adam Gase did so well with Jay, he got promoted to the Dolphins, and so long offensive coordinator once again. So it just, for me, it would take a lot for that to happen, but I just don't see it in Jay's future.
You know, Mike, there's a handful of other quarterbacks that I guess should be mentioned. They could start in this league. I'm not sure I'd want them starting for my team. Mike Glennon, there's been a lot of chatter about him. Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then Colin Kaepernick, who was actually really good at the end of last season. Do you think any of these quarterbacks should start next season?
I would say that Mike Glennon, it really depends on him. He can get a starting job if he wants to. With the way that the quarterback market is right now, he can get a starting job. But does he want to go to a team that is literally in shambles? A team like the Bills, where they have nobody on offense outside of Sammy Watkins. LeSean McCoy is getting older. You know, does he want to go back up a team like the Jaguars, because Bortles is probably going to lose a job at some point? he has his choices. I think Brian Hoyer is better than people think. Hoyer's totals over the last two seasons, you know, if you people just remember the one playoff game he had for Houston, but outside of that playoff game, he's thrown for 4,051 yards, 25 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Like, that's a pretty solid. Yeah, it's a pretty solid quarterback. Like, when you consider he threw, and that's on 569 attempts. So that's almost equivalent to one season's worth of games. Brian Hoyer, 25-7, not bad. Ryan Fitzpatrick, people overreacted to his 2015 season. I think they're doing the same thing to his 2016. They're overreacting. I think that he's a journeyman. He's the definition of a journeyman for a team that might just want someone as a stopgap, as I mentioned, like the Bears. You know, they're probably going to draft a quarterback and need someone for a year or two just to bridge, to build that, you know, that rookie quarterback, his confidence up, maybe have him start in 2018. As for Colin Kaepernick, okay, so... I'm weird in this way that I like my quarterbacks to be able to throw the ball, and so Colin Kaepernick doesn't exactly, he's only completed 59% of his passes in his career. He's coming up on 30 years old. The reason I say that, it's not old for a quarterback, but what it is, it's old for a guy with his legs. I'm talking about, you know, when you talk about running backs, they get towards the age of 30, you worry about their legs, you know, they're getting older. And Colin Kaepernick, if he loses those legs, he's going to be relied on his arm, and he has literally zero accuracy. I don't like Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback. You know, with his legs, he presented a threat, but now that those are going to start deteriorating, me personally, I could see him with on a team with like the Jets. I could seriously see Colin Kaepernick in a Jets uniform next season.
Oh man, if there's a team that has to commit to one of these four guys, Mike Glennon does have some promise. Brian Hoyer, you mentioned those stats. That was pretty impressive, but I think he's over the hill. I think we've seen the best of him. And, you know, you're just admitting that you're giving up if Brian Hoyer's your quarterback, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you know, real quick before we move on, did you know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is only 34 years old?
Is he really?
I swear to God, I thought the guy was like 39.
He's been around forever.
He has been around forever. And that's why I say he's a journeyman, but he's only 34 years old. I'm actually older than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Wow. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is so smart. He's like the smartest quarterback that's ever come out of college, right? Okay, maybe he's so smart that he has mastered time travel. Maybe that's how he's doing it.
I suppose. Maybe.
All right, let's move over to the running back position. And, you know, there's actually a lot of good players here. There's usually not many good running backs. Or any players for that matter in free agency, but we've got Eddie Lacy, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Latavius Murray. There's a lot of guys out here. Which one of them is your favorite?
Oh wow, it's really tough. It almost reminds me of that year that Michael Turner became a free agent, and it was like that's when I really was like, you know, that's like the heart of when I got into fantasy football. You know, I had been in it for like 2 years, but like that year that he became a free agent, I was like, oh, somebody's going to pick him up. And nobody ever did. Like, it was just the end for Michael Turner. And I kind of feel like we're almost there with Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles, sadly, because these are two of the running backs that I've adored for years. Like, I've loved watching these two. Like, they're two of the most fun running backs to watch. But right now, I would say my top running back on the free agent market's Eddie Lacy, provided he can come back in shape. And, you know, seeing that he's a free agent, I would hope, you know, that his agent or whoever's, you know, in his ear has been giving him advice, basically saying, we need to get you in shape. You know, a lot of teams are going to want to see you in shape. You know, they're going to bring you in for a physical. And that's why in the article I wrote that I think that he will sign with someone. I just think it's going to be on a prove it type contract, like a 1 or 2 year deal to say, can you stay in shape for the entire season? You know, can you do that? Because I think he'd be good back with the Packers. I think he fits well with Ty Montgomery. With, you know, those two together working in tandem can be really good. He wouldn't be asked to do as much. I also think that he could be an excellent replacement for LeGarrette Blount in New England. You know, not many people have connected the dots there, but I don't know why. Maybe because the Patriots don't typically spend that much money on the running back position. But then again, it may not take much to get Lacy.
Like, I agree.
Am I crazy to think that Lacy would look good in a Patriots uniform?
I think that Lacy, I mentioned it on the last show that we actually did. I think Eddie Lacy is going to end up in New England. I think he's going to get away from the Packers and think he's going to make a ton of money, and no one's going to offer it to him because that's just not what happens with free agent running backs. So I think the Patriots move in swiftly and scoop him up for a cheap price, and maybe he goes and scores 15 touchdowns.
or this. Now, let's say that the Patriots, they go a different route. They go back to LeGarrette Blount. They whatever. Let's say that Eddie Lacy, that the Colts decide, you know, Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette at 14 is too pricey. We need to build this defense, and they really, really do. Let's say that Eddie Lacy goes to the Colts. Where do you draft him? Let's assume Frank Gore is, he's on the last legs of his career.
Oh, man. I don't know. Not very high.
I want the running back. If there's a running back that's going to be guaranteed the job in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck, his running backs typically score anywhere from 3 to 6 receiving touchdowns per year. So that combined with the, 200 plus carries, if you get that job, I want it. So for me.
Ooh, I don't know, man. I'm not interested because I think they're passing the ball in the red zone. I guess, like you said, though, they're passing it to the running back, but Eddie Lacy just doesn't seem like the. I guess Frank Gore doesn't either. I don't know. I'm talking myself into it.
That's what I'm saying. So for me, Eddie Lacy, I was looking at that. If he signed with someone like the Colts, where I would put him, and I'd have to say that he's at least a back end RB2.
I don't know, man. It just seems so dangerous to me. He's so volatile with that weight and everything. But then again, I mean, there was a reason that he was a top 5 overall pick just a couple seasons ago. It's because he has that kind of talent, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is I went through the numbers, so I was curious myself, and this is what I do. So when I see something, I'm like, Eddie Lacy, what did he really mean to the Packers? You know, were they better off without him? So I pulled all the numbers from the running backs and like the Frankenstein combination of running backs that they used to replace him over the last 2 seasons between James Starks, Ty Montgomery, even Don Jackson, Kristen Michael, all those guys. I combined their numbers and put them up against Lacy's. They were almost identical. When you look on a per touch basis, like what they were offering, Lacy was actually a better receiver than those guys were. But in terms of running the ball, Eddie Lacy was almost on an identical path as those guys, whether it comes to breaking tackles, when it came to yards per carry, points per touch. Eddie Lacy, it's a product of the system where the system is really good. And I made it a point to put that in the article. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Eddie Lacy, he was the RB6 in back-to-back seasons because of the system. I'm like, well, yeah, 90% of the running backs in the NFL are a product of the system that they're in.
Yes.
So there's only a few special talents in this league, and Eddie Lacy's not one of them. You know, Adrian Peterson was one of them. I do believe Leonard Fournette is one of them. You know, there's only a select few in this league. So Eddie Lacy's not one. So for me, it all comes down to where he lands.
I'm not so convinced about Leonard Fournette, and I guess we probably shouldn't get into it here. But I watched the tape and, he looks like a very fine running back, someone who in most years would go at the end of the first, early second round. But I'm not seeing this, first 10 picks thing. If you want to talk about a first 10 pick talent, I think it's Joe Mixon.
Oh, man, I'm pretty sure I could take out Leonard Fournette on a date right now with how many nice things I could say about him. Like, honestly, like watching him, I rarely get it with running backs. Like, and my friends will tell you that I did not like Trent Richardson coming out of college. And I know everybody's like, well, everybody liked him. I didn't. I didn't like Todd Gurley as much as people did. I remember the first time that I met Evan Silva. I looked at him and I was like, hey, am I crazy to say that I think Todd Gurley might be a little bit overrated? He's like, yeah, man, you're crazy. And and here we are. And but when I watch Leonard Fournette, I get this feeling that I really don't get with many running backs. I feel like something special can happen anytime he touches the ball. And you know, when I watch Dalvin Cook, I think he's a very workmanlike runner. I think that he can handle a workload similar to like someone like a Frank Gore. But Leonard Fournette, that guy is like a giant truck in a very fast truck. I can't wait to see him run the 40 because if he goes under a 4.5, man, at 240 pounds, it's impressive.
Latavius Murray's like a fast truck too. But yeah. I mean, if you watch him run, his cuts just aren't really impressive. They're slow. You know, he has all right vision, but it just takes him a while to get to where he wants to get. And so, yeah, he can break through a hole and he can run for 20 yards up the middle. But the difference between him and a really quality fantasy back is that he's not going to break those big runs because he can't make that one cut that needs to be made to bust it loose for 60 yards. And for me, I'm not sure he's ever going to be a starting running back full time in the NFL again. I think he's going to sign somewhere. Maybe the Raiders sign him back. And yeah, he beats out those other mediocre guys and does start this season. But I think the Raiders are going to draft a running back. And I think Murray's going to end up second fiddle on a running back depth chart somewhere and just be wondering what in the world happened.
Oh, Latavius Murray? Yeah. No, Latavius Murray is a very interesting case because, you know, he is that, he's like that measurable guy that you want to love, right? And you mentioned it, like all those things, but he almost runs like he's flat-footed in a way. Like, it's just, you're right. He's got the speed, he's got the size, and you want to love it. You know, I think 6'2", 220 or 230. But the guy literally didn't break any big runs the last two seasons. He's been given so much work in Oakland. We know that offensive line. That offensive line was great. It was graded as, I want to say it was number two in run blocking by PFF. Where Latavius Murray, he's only, over the last two seasons, has only broken 20 runs of 15 or more yards. And his, so basically his breakaway percentage is very low in comparison to all the other workhorse running backs. And it's something that, honestly, if you recall, Bobby, in 2014, at the end of that season, when Latavius Murray finally got a go, it was like, you know, I remember his coming out game. It was against the Chiefs. It was in like week 15 or something like that. And he scored two touchdowns. He broke a couple long runs. It's just something he hasn't done the last two seasons. And it really blows my mind because we saw DeAndre Washington. We saw Jalen Richard. We saw them do it. So I'm with you. I don't think that Latavius Murray ever has a workhorse job ever again. He will sign somewhere, but I just don't. I don't see him making a very big fantasy impact, unfortunately.
He seems like the type of guy that the Giants would sign, someone who's just kind of, oh man, the Giants and what they do with their backfield, it just, it doesn't really make sense to me. So yeah, that's where I would put Latavius Murray. Now, Adrian Peterson and Jamaal Charles, I disagree with you. I don't think Adrian Peterson is anywhere close to what he once was, and the tape did look really bad. He came back too early, and yeah, he's still injury prone, but I don't put anything past this guy. I think he can still do it. And I think he's going to end up with the Green Bay Packers and just rub it in the Vikings' face. You know, they did deal with everything that he had going on. But I just think this is the kind of move that the Packers would make. And I think he could be rejuvenated there in Green Bay. Now, Jamaal Charles, man, we're talking about the NFL's all-time yards per carry leader. I understand, like any other running back, he's a product of the offense. But, you know, you watch the guy play. He doesn't need more than 10 or 12 touches in a game to be a good fantasy running back. And I think that, you know, say what you want about the injury concerns, but if he does get on the field, he could be a really special player again. I'm not sure where he ends up. I'd love to see him with Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts catching the ball in the backfield. It could be beautiful. I will be drafting Jamaal Charles unless his ADP rises considerably over the summer.
You know what's funny is you said Adrian Peterson, the Packers, the whole division thing. How about this? Jamaal Charles going to the Raiders.
Yeah, that could definitely happen. They're ready to win now. He can help them do that.
I completely agree. And he's already said, he's come out and said, like, he kind of erased the question marks of, you know, will he go to, you know, a non-contender? No. He basically said he wants to win a Super Bowl and he'll take less money to do so. So for me, the list of teams that I put down for him, I had the Cowboys there just because Jamaal Charles knows that he's not going to be the workhorse anymore. He's going to go to a team just to contribute. And I think that if there's one area of Zeke's game, I guess that they could use a little bit of someone to help, it'd be the receiving game. The Patriots is a solid fit for him. The Packers and the Raiders. Those are the four teams that I put down for Jamaal Charles. And I believe that those are the best spots that he can go if he's looking to win a Super Bowl. Now, Jamaal Charles was a special player. He just happened to be a special player that was in also a special system with Andy Reid. So that was, you know, that's when we saw this, what, that 20 touchdown season out of him when those two got together. In regards to Peterson, my concern with him, and I don't think that he's a bad running back anymore. I'm with you. I think that he can still play. I think that he can play at a somewhat high level, but I think that today's NFL has passed him by, where you need to be at least able to do something in the passing game in order to stay on the field. Otherwise, you become very one-dimensional. You become very predictable. And that's where I think the game may have passed Adrian Peterson by a little bit. With that being said, I think a team like the Packers can figure it out. I think that Aaron Rodgers is enough of a threat where a team, just because Adrian Peterson's on the field, doesn't mean you get to stack eight in the box, because Aaron Rodgers can tear you apart himself. Doesn't matter what formation he's in. So for me, I think the Packers are a very, very, very interesting fit. And if he does go there, I think Adrian Peterson's back on the RB1 radar.
Okay, Mike, before we move on over to wide receiver and close this conversation out, let's hit some of the lower end running backs, if you will. Jaquizz Rodgers, Rex Burkhead, LeGarrette Blount, Christine Michael, Danny Woodhead. Do you like any of these guys?
Jaquizz Rodgers, I think, is a very good one. I said it makes too much sense for this not to happen. I want to see him go to the Chargers. We know that Melvin Gordon maybe has an injury history, that he's not the
That's a good fit.
He's not the most efficient running back. He's very good on the goal line. But the thing is like they had Danny Woodhead, right? So bringing in Jaquizz Rodgers would fill a role in the passing game immediately. And then he also offers depth behind Melvin Gordon, whereas if something happened to Gordon like it did this year, Jaquizz Rodgers can step in. So I do like Jaquizz Rodgers to the Chargers. I know a lot of people are high on Rex Burkhead, but I expect him to be part of a timeshare somewhere.
I'm really high on Rex Burkhead. I think he was the best running back in that offense last year, even over Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard.
Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill were not very good last year.
You're right.
it's hard to watch Jeremy Hill right now because, like, for a guy that's supposed to be a power back, he's not breaking tackles. He's not getting yards after contact. Jeremy Hill, like, if you own him in Dynasty, sell if you can get something for him because it's been bad the last 2 years.
Mike, do you think Danny Woodhead's going to bounce back or is he kind of done? He's 32 years old now.
Yeah, that's the crazy part is like, you know, you want to say a running back at 32 years old. My God, that's not good. But running backs like Danny Woodhead just don't die. Like they don't go away. They're like Max from Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Like they just don't Mad Max. He just doesn't go away. And I think Danny Woodhead, I don't know if he's going to be the same player. I tend to think that he probably will just because he seems like he's got a really, really good work ethic. He doesn't have like 2,000 carries on his frame or anything like that. But I don't think that the Chargers should be bringing him back. I don't think that the Chargers are in immediate contention for anything. And Danny Woodhead's a guy that might have, you know, a year or two left. So I would like to see him maybe go to a team like the Cowboys where he can spell Ezekiel Elliott, just give him little breaks. And we know that Danny Woodhead can kind of do it all. So I think that the Cowboys are a solid fit for them.
I think Alfred Morris is a far better running back at this point in his career than Danny Woodhead. So I think the Cowboys are fine there. I guess it doesn't hurt to have three real nice running backs. Mike, let's move over to wide receivers because we're kind of running out of time. And this is a really special situation here. Because we actually have a very good wide receiver in this draft class, Alshon Jeffrey. Where do you think he ends up? Is it back with the Bears?
I don't, actually. I think that there's been a stalemate between these two teams. Alshon Jeffrey, from what I've kind of seen while watching my Bears and paying attention to them closer than I do any other team, is that he had somewhat of a rift between the coaching staff and him, between the front office, whatever the case may be, where Alshon Jeffrey just hasn't practiced. Like he seems to always find a reason to not practice, where even every fantasy player was guessing at the beginning of the season, like, what's going on with Alshon Jeffrey? He was not involved in the game plans. Like there was a game where he wasn't targeted once in the first half. And this is something that never happened with Alshon Jeffrey. So you started to say, what's going on? And then leaks started coming out that it was something between the coaching staff and him just didn't get along. They wanted him to practice in order to be part of the game plan. And now they said, you know, it's an integral part for a wide receiver to test the market, to know what his value is before we start contract talks. That is not true at all. If you have a number one, a franchise wide receiver, no, if you have a franchise wide receiver, you sign him so that nobody else has the chance to do it. So I do think he is as good as gone. And one place I tied him to, because we've heard that the Ravens might cut Mike Wallace. If the Ravens do cut Mike Wallace and they make some space, I think Alshon Jeffrey with Joe Flacco would fit extremely well.
That's a really good fit. I mean, they need a wide receiver, right? But Alshon Jeffrey, I'll tell you what, if I'm an NFL team, I'm not spending big money on a guy who's had so many soft tissue problems. I see that only getting worse. Now, does he have the upside? Of course. Can he take you to the next level and help you into the playoffs or make you a Super Bowl contender? Yeah, I guess if he stays healthy, but that's a really big if. And if I was betting on it, whether he was going to stay healthy or get hurt, I'd bet on him to get hurt. And he's one of the only players in the league I'd say that about.
Yeah, Alshon, to me, he worked really well with Brandon Marshall, having that possession wide receiver so that he can go deep more often. I don't think you should rely on Alshon Jeffrey as your possession receiver. I don't think that he's built to do that. So, you know, Eagles make a lot of sense because they're looking for someone for the long term. I understand that. They have Jordan Matthews, Zach Ertz, who could provide that possession type role. Alshon Jeffrey can stretch the field, can do multiple things. So I do think the Eagles is a good fit. It's a little worrisome when you hear names like Brandon Cooks out there being tied to the Eagles because he's obviously a completely different wide receiver.
You know, I'm looking at the other wide receivers on this list, and it's just not very impressive. There's not much out there, as with most offseasons, but DeSean Jackson had a few games, especially that game against the Philadelphia Eagles, where he really stood out to me as a player who can still play some ball. I know he's 30 years old. I know a lot of 30-year-olds don't have the agility that DeSean Jackson needs to be a playmaker, but DeSean Jackson's different. He just needs to decide to turn it on. And I think wherever he goes, it just needs to be a contender. And if it's a contender, I'm going to be really interested in fantasy.
He's got some serious jets. Like, he still has the speed. He may have lost a step, but it's still enough to get by NFL cornerbacks and safeties. The question is where does he want to go? Because I believe that he's going to have multiple teams talking to him. And honestly, I had three teams that were in division, the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Cowboys. I think that the one that nobody's talked about is the Cowboys. I think it would be very interesting for him to go opposite Dez Bryant to play in a dome. If you look over DeSean Jackson's stats over his career, he plays so much better inside of a dome. So for me, the Cowboys make tons of sense. Now, he would probably have to take a very cap-friendly deal because the Cowboys don't have much money. Available now, the increase in salary cap for the NFL has helped that, but I would love to see him play opposite Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley playing the slot role. But between him and Kenny Stills for the Bucks, I think the Bucks try and sign one of these two, or they go ahead and get somebody in the draft. But I do think that Kenny Stills is more of a long-term option, whereas DeSean Jackson is like a contender now. That's why I think I like DeSean Jackson going to the Cowboys.
One of the other guys we absolutely have to talk about is Terrell Pryor, right? And you wrote in your piece, let's address the elephant in the room. Pryor is lower on my list than probably everywhere else. You know what? I'm actually with you. I watched the tape on Terrell Pryor, and I just don't think that if he wasn't the featured quarterback in a horrible if he wasn't the featured wide receiver in a horrible offense where he was just the only piece they could possibly throw the ball to, I don't think we're even talking about him. I don't even think he appears on this list. But he had so many targets that, you know, he got to showcase his athleticism, and he's an athlete for sure, but I don't think he's a very good wide receiver.
That's the thing is, for me, with him as a wide receiver, here's my problem with a lot of people saying that, you know, he had a 1,000-yard season, Mike, you know, he's only going to get better. It's kind of like an insult to wide receivers, right? To say a great wide receiver is great because he's perfected his craft. You know, we're not talking about a guy that's 23 years old. We're talking about a guy that will turn 28 years old in June. So therefore, when we talk about great wide receivers, typically right now at 28, we're saying that downward trend's going to come. Just because Terrell Pryor started playing wide receiver later in his life doesn't mean he's going to have a longer shelf life than an elite wide receiver. So for me, I think he's towards the end of his prime. So you may have seen the best Terrell Pryor you're going to see last year. You know, maybe you'll get another year. For me, I think Terrell Pryor is best suited to stay with the Browns. I think that they'll probably give him more than any other team will. It really comes down to, are you going to pay a wide receiver $10 million that doesn't have more than a handful of solid games on his plate? That's what I'm saying is the one stat I came across for you fantasy football players out there, he scored over 33% of his fantasy points in two games last year. And those two games, by the way, were both with Corey Coleman out of the lineup. So
wow,
for me,
that's a great stat, Mike.
Yeah. So when I look at things and I say, okay, well, I understand that not every wide receiver is going to produce every single game, but here's another stat for you, Bobby. There were 9 games in which Terrell Pryor saw fewer than 9 targets. So he saw 8 targets, 7 targets, 6, whatever. Fewer than 9. In those 9 games, he did not record more than 48 yards in 8 of them. So basically, Terrell Pryor was strictly a volume wide receiver. He did everything that he could on volume. And therefore, if he leaves a team like the Cleveland Browns, he's not going to see more than 8 targets per game. I can promise you that. And because of that, he'll be overdrafted.
I completely agree. Okay, let's close this out by talking about a few of the other wide receivers. Michael Floyd, Kendall Wright, Kenny Britt, Pierre Garçon, Brandon LaFell, Cordell Patterson. Do you like any of these guys? Do you think they can make an impact on an NFL team, or are they just kind of depth chart fillers at this point?
I like a few of them in here, honestly, and I know that nobody wants to talk about Michael Floyd. I said before the start of last season that I felt like the Packers, I know that they don't do anything in free agency typically, but I felt like that he was a perfect Jordy Nelson replacement, and I still do. I still would love to see Michael Floyd sign, and the Packers can get him really cheap with this off the field stuff. Kendall Wright appears to be on a different page than the Titans coaching staff. It seems like they've been pulling back and forth, but there have been 16 times in his career where he's seen at least 8 targets. In those games, he averaged 80 yards and 7.2 receptions.
It
all adds up to 17 PPR points. So I want to see him go to a place where he can get targets, maybe the Patriots. I don't know. But I do think that there's still talent with Kendall Wright. It just comes down to where he lands. The other guys, those are fillers, guys that are going to look to go to contenders, maybe to teach some rookies like Kenny Britt, Pierre Garçon, Brandon LaFell.
I disagree. I think Kenny Britt can play. I think that he has been stranded with some just horrible quarterbacks. But if you watch the tape, he's big. He's fast. He's got pretty good hands. He plays smart. He can help a team, as you said, being the mature presence in the locker room, which is kind of crazy because Kenny Britt was not like that as a younger player, but he's really helped the Rams in that way. And I think that he is going to be the number three wide receiver in this free agent class in terms of how much money he gets. And I think he produces when he gets into a good offense. Maybe he goes to the Buccaneers with Jameis Winston opposite of Mike Evans. I think Kenny Britt can be a nice piece.
Now, that's the funny part. I like Kenny Britt, but I worry about his health. And for that reason, this year was the first year he's totaled more than 775 yards receiving in a season. So it just goes to show that he hasn't been the ideal picture of health. I know that his offenses, his quarterbacks haven't been great. But no, what's funny is that people view Britt as the guy who's on the last legs of his career. This will be his last contract, this and that. He's old. But guess what? He just turned 28 at the end of last year. Which means he's basically the same age as Terrell Pryor, who is viewed as on the up and coming. So
that is so wild.
Yeah, those two are, I think it's 8 months apart. So Kenny Britt and Terrell Pryor, they're viewed on opposite spectrums, but in reality, they're close to the same age.
All right, Mike. Well, that's all we have to talk about today. Once again, I'm really glad that you're going to be co-hosting this show with me. And I can't wait to do the next few episodes. We're going to be talking about some draft stuff coming up. So for those of you guys listening at home, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. That way you don't miss any episodes. We're going to be doing at least one per week. Leave us a rating and review. It really helps us out. And also make sure to jump over and check out the baseball podcast. I host that podcast. We've been doing two or three shows every week, getting you geared up for your fantasy baseball seasons. All right, Mike, do you have any final words?
No, I just think that I probably could have talked football with you, Bobby, for like, I think another 4 hours or so. But I know we're pushed on time and we got to get out of here. But hopefully you guys enjoyed the first show. And I'm looking forward to talking football in the coming months with you, Bobby. And it was a blast.
It was a lot of fun, Mike. Looking forward to next show. And I appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.